Welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And the topic of our show today is, does love really heal all wounds? There's a saying that love heals all wounds, and this saying has become a belief that so many people believe. When there's a problem in their life with another person, all they need to do is throw love at it. Kind of like throwing water on a fire. And believe that it will just go away. Now, most abuse survivors know this is not true. No amount of love thrown upon the fire of an abusive person dissolves the abuse. In fact, this belief often keeps victims of abuse trapped in the abuse cycle, believing if they only loved more, deeper, or better, the abuser would be magically transformed into a loving person. This simply is not the case. It's true that the world needs more love, but we need to have a better understanding of that love and how it really heals. Abuse survivors, for example, are normally suffering from a lack of love, a lack of self-love. If they loved themselves enough, they wouldn't put themselves in the line of fire, so to speak. It's the internal wound that most needs our attention. For the world out there is but a reflection of the world in here. If we can only love ourselves enough, we will lovingly bow out of toxic relationships, and we will no longer take unloving behavior personally. We have to understand that hurt people hurt people. Those with the deepest inner wounds are most likely to lash out at others when they are in pain. Even those who have deep pain but have suppressed it so deeply that they no longer have access to it lash out at others. The projection of their pain keeps it away from their awareness of it. Almost everybody on the planet is wounded. But how many people actually have access to those wounds? How many people actually feel their pain? We are in a period of our collective evolution where there is an emotional awakening happening. In the past, people didn't have time to feel. They were too busy just trying to survive. They would lose a loved one at war and immediately need to go plow the field or chop wood or carry water because their very survival depended upon it. Even though women were naturally more in touch with their emotions, they didn't have the luxury to feel or reflect on those feelings as we do today. In the past, emotions were considered the realm of the female. Men did not do emotions. They were warriors. And if they were to feel anything at all, it would usually be anger, because this was the emotion that allowed them to fight and to survive. So while the men were fighting, the women were having to deal with any grief they felt by themselves, and they had to work while they were grieving. The emotional awakening is happening at a time where we don't have to work so hard anymore. Our lifespans are longer. We actually have the luxury to begin to explore our inner terrain. This is also the onslaught of the spiritual revolution. More people are breaking away from religion and embracing spirituality, which is all about finding that union and communion within. We are facing our shadow and bringing those parts of ourselves that have been repressed into the light. Women make up roughly 80% of the spiritual movement because they are naturally more in touch with their emotions. They feel their feelings and intuition and answer the call to go within and face the dragon that lies in the shadows. However, not all women are in touch with their emotions, and not all men are out of touch with their emotions. There are still roughly 20% of men who are committed to a path of spiritual awakening. And we have to understand that spiritual awakening isn't always what we think it is. It isn't just about the law of attraction or meditating or understanding quantum physics. It isn't about being a massage therapist or acupuncturist or some other kind of healer. It isn't about leading a spiritual community. Spiritual awakening encompasses emotional awakening. You cannot have one without the other. So if an individual is on a spiritual path but live in their head, they're not really on the awakening path. They are having an intellectual experience of being spiritual. Love is an emotion, and in order to truly access that deeper love, we have to access our feelings. If we are emotionally shut down or consider our emotions to be weak or taboo, we will continue to suppress and amputate them. Just because someone says, "I love you," it doesn't mean that they can feel the depth of that love. They may love how you look, how you feel, what you've accomplished in your life, how smart or talented you are, but they really don't see or feel the depth of you. They're only scratching the surface. What happens when someone has repressed their emotions is that they get very uncomfortable around emotions. Why? Because there's a threat that the emotions they've invested a lifetime of energy suppressing will be triggered and they might have to feel them. The more one invests in pushing away something they consider to be a weakness, the less they want to risk these feelings surfacing. We've talked a little bit about projection. Projection is when someone who disowns his feelings imagines them to be coming from outside of himself rather than from within. So instead of owning the feelings as coming from within, he will accuse the person he's projecting onto as having those feelings. People become quite masterful at projection and have absolutely no idea what they are doing. They truly believe that those feelings are coming from outside of themselves. I had an experience where three people in my life decided to join together in scapegoating me. They were all accusing and blaming me of behavior that had absolutely nothing to do with me. Being emotionally sensitive, I did react at first, but then realized, wait, they are all accusing me of doing exactly what they are doing. The one who is controlling is accusing me of being controlling. The one who is angry and yelled at me accused me of being angry and yelling at him. The one who accused me of sending her a nasty message sent me a nasty message. How could they not see this? Well, I'm very fortunate to be aware enough to realize that I was simply a convenient target. Understanding this concept that hurt people hurt people can be very helpful. Understanding that people are avoiding their own intense emotional energy, project those feelings onto others, can be very helpful. Understanding that everybody is wounded can be very helpful. We need to be willing to take ownership of our emotions. Therefore, we need to be willing to feel what is coming up to be felt. If we have high levels of empathy or are an empath, we feel very deeply. The bonus is we also love very deeply. The deeper our capacity to feel, the deeper our capacity to love. Love is either like an ocean or like a mud puddle or somewhere in between. So we have to understand that everybody simply does not have the same capacity to love. This doesn't make them bad people. It just makes them less emotionally awakened. We can't love someone enough to make them love themselves. If someone is emotionally shut down and acting out from the lack of awareness, showing them love and kindness may trigger them even more. I'm not saying that we don't want to show people love and kindness, but we can't expect that loving somebody more, deeper, or better will open the window of repressed pain and it will come pouring out. That person has invested way too much keeping that pain locked away and is not about to risk letting it out. Wounds can only be healed when we are aware that we have them. We should absolutely love others, but we can't expect our love to heal another's wounds. Our love needs to be directed at our own wounds. We need to love the one who is wounded within. We need to show that wounded aspect of self our love, attention, compassion, and empathy. As we do, the pain can be felt and thereby released. The more we release our pain, the lighter we become and the more light we can hold. However, the more light we have, the more our very presence threatens to expose the shadow of those who are vested in remaining non-emotional. The light always exposes the darkness, so those who feel threatened will often attack the most loving, empathic, and caring people because their light is shining too brightly on the repressed darkness. On a global scale, this is all part of the Great Awakening. However, the empaths of the world are having a difficult time of it because they're constantly having to sort through the feelings that others are projecting onto them. Empaths often feel victimized and attacked and don't really understand why. In some ways, it is the role of the empath to transmute the pain of the planet, and this is not an easy task. It's not a job many empaths would embrace, because to be a transmuter of pain means feeling the lion's share of the planet's pain. But there's a way to rise above this dilemma. Pain and drama often go hand in hand, especially when there is betrayal, attack, or projection of some kind involved. There is a drama. Someone is accusing you of doing something you didn't do, and maybe even telling everybody else that you did this thing that you didn't do. And you want to defend yourself and convince them this is not true. You may feel like you have to run around telling everybody else that you didn't do the dirty deed you're being accused of. It's a drama, right? If we can recognize the drama, we can learn to release ourselves from it. It's just a story. We don't have to tell the story to ourselves anymore, nor do we need to tell the story to anyone else. We understand that the one who accuses us and the one who believes it are coming from their wounds. They're acting from their wounds. It has nothing to do with you. It may hurt you that you've been blamed, shamed, or accused, but when you bring love and understanding to yourself, you can release that hurt much quicker. It may appear that this person hates you, but remember, this is a projection. It has nothing to do with you. You are just a canvas or a mirror. That person really hates himself or herself. The only thing you can do in a case like this is to give love, kindness, and compassion to yourself. be there for you. Self-love. Love has the power to heal the wounds within you. You have to recognize when you're falling into the drama, telling the story of how you were mistreated or wronged, and dropping into the painful energy of that dynamic. Because in the story, it's all the pain of all the players. All that collective pain is being held in that story. Everybody involved in that story is expressing their pain through that story. And I'm not saying that damage has not been done. There's often horrendous damage done. And if you are the scapegoat, you are the one who the damage has been done to. You may have had something very valuable taken from you that you can't get back. There may be a sense of injustice. It may seem that you are the one who is left to suffer while the other or others get away with the crime. And I see this dynamic all of the time with narcissistic abuse. At first, when the crime has been done, you may need to tell the story to someone who can really hear you. You have to process through it. I'm not talking about spiritual bypass here, where you just let it go or rise above it before actually feeling it. But eventually, we have to let that story go in order to move forward in our lives and reclaim our power. If we keep the story alive, we usually keep the pain alive. Every time we tell the story, the pain is activated. And this is a different kind of pain than the repressed pain that's been stored in the shadow since early childhood. This is what I call recycled pain. It is the pain that is trapped in the pain body through identification with it. We build our identity on being a victim of a crime. And that crime was so very painful to us that we have difficulty letting the story go. So the more we tell that story, the more that pain gets recycled. When you get stuck in this story, you need to give yourself a lot of love and learn how to identify the drama you are stuck in and get help to rise up so you can see the drama from a higher perspective. It feels very differently looking down upon the drama than being right in the trenches of it. Allow love to coax you up to the higher perspective. Whenever you find yourself stuck in the story or the drama, name it. I'm in the drama. And then rise to the higher perspective. Oh, I can see it's all just a drama playing out. I don't have to play. It takes some practice rising above the drama and viewing it from a higher perspective. It takes some practice to recognize those who are playing out the drama are acting and reacting from their wounds. It takes some practice learning to bring love to yourself. Look at all of this as your spiritual practice. Spiritual practice isn't just about meditation and prayer. It's about finding the courage to face the dragons within your own shadow and find the love in your own heart. It's about turning your attention inward rather than looking outward to get your needs met. Love does heal all the wounds within the self, but it takes time and practice. It takes a commitment to love and self-understanding. The path back to self-love is the spiritual path. So let's take the road less traveled, the path to self-love and self-understanding, the path that will ultimately lead you to the highest version of yourself. Thank you for listening. And for more information about me and my work, please visit narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.